This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify POS has everything you need to sell in person. Go to shopify.com/system, all lowercase, to take your retail business to the next level today. That's shopify.com/system.
Tonight, breaking news as we come on the air. The Justice Department now says it will conduct a critical review of the police response to the massacre in Uvalde, Texas, after word that officers waited outside classrooms as the attack continued for 77 excruciating minutes. President Biden, confronted with a community's growing frustration in Uvalde, begging him to do something. How the president responded. And tonight, ABC News obtains new video from that day that shows police breaking windows to rescue children, and new dispatch audio reveals authorities on the phone with students trapped in their classrooms. We're also learning new details tonight about the police response. Sources tell ABC News how federal officers took action, deciding on their own to finally storm the classroom and take out the gunman. And a young survivor tells how his teacher protected her class, putting her own life on the line to keep the shooter out. Our Marcus Moore on the ground in Uvalde and Aaron Katersky standing by with new details on the police response. Also tonight, the push for gun control. With outrage growing, the NRA faces new protests. Senator Ted Cruz confronted at a restaurant. And the latest on what is being called serious negotiations on gun reform. A shocking arrest. A 10-year-old in handcuffs accused of threatening a mass shooting in Florida. What the sheriff is saying about the threat. The fighting intensifies in Ukraine. Residential neighborhoods pummeled as Russia takes aim at two key cities in the east. President Zelensky's rare appearance near the front lines, and Ukraine's counteroffensive in the south. Millions are on the move this Memorial Day weekend, facing record gas prices and crowded airports, when the experts say is the best time to travel to beat the crowds. Severe storms threaten the plains and upper Midwest. Damaging winds and tornadoes are possible. Rob Marciano times it all out. Nancy Pelosi's husband arrested. Why the House Speaker's husband now faces charges in California. New video of a dramatic rescue. A neighbor jumps into a pool to rescue a four-year-old who was underwater for several minutes, and a reminder to parents on how to keep children safe this summer. And Uvalde, united in prayer, a community lifting itself up with faith.
From ABC News World Headquarters in New York, this is World News Tonight.
Good evening, everyone. Thanks so much for joining us on yet another busy Sunday. I'm Lindsay Davis. As we come on the air tonight, President Biden is wrapping up an emotional visit to Uvalde, Texas, amid major developments in the investigation. The Justice Department says it's looking into the law enforcement response, in particular, why the shooter was not stopped sooner. During the president's visit, palpable anger, people shouting, "Do something." President Biden responding, "We will." The first couple visiting the memorial at Robb Elementary, where 21 children and teachers were killed by a lone gunman Tuesday. Dr. Biden placing her hand on each photo, both pausing to honor the individual lives lost. ABC News has obtained video from outside that school in Uvalde, which shows the back of the school building minutes after the gunman entered the school. A scene of confusion and chaos when multiple federal agencies arrived at the school. Tactical teams were made aware of an order not to enter the classroom. Eventually, the federal officer in charge gave the order that allowed federal agents to breach the classroom and kill the shooter. Tonight, crowds gathering at this Uvalde memorial. We have team coverage tonight, beginning with ABC's Marcus Moore, who leads us off from Uvalde.
Tonight, President Biden confronted with the community's mounting frustration in Uvalde, Texas. President responding, "We will." And tonight, ABC News obtaining new video showing police breaking windows at the school.
They're getting the kids out.
Officers trying to rescue students from the building. And for the first time, we hear what appears to be dispatch audio sharing with officers that 911 operators are on the phone with students trapped inside those classrooms. Texas law enforcement detailing those chilling calls from children.
She identified herself and whispered, "She's in room 112.
At 12:10, she called back in room 12, advised her multiple dead. Again at 12:16, she called back and said there was 8 to 9 students alive.
Tonight, the Justice Department announcing it will conduct a review of the law enforcement response to the shooting, vowing it will be fair, transparent, and independent. Sources telling ABC News that a Customs and Border Protection tactical team defied local authorities, led by Police Chief Pete Arredondo.
He was convinced at the time that there was no more threat to the children and that the subject was barricaded and that they had time to organize with the proper equipment to go in.
That federal tactical team going in at 12:50 p.m., fatally shooting the suspect 77 minutes after the terror began. The gunman found with more than a dozen bullet wounds. 9-year-old Daniel Garza was inside a nearby classroom. He heard the shots, his teacher rushing her kids to safety.
She ran to the door quickly. She got her key. She broke the key in, and then she was running because she got shot, and then she just, like, dropped on the floor, and then she was, like, playing dead.
Daniel recounts seeing the gunman stalk the halls.
I could see where he's, like, staring at, like, people through a little window in the door.
So you actually saw him. And what was he doing?
He was just, like, standing there with his gun, like, tapping on, like, the window.
Hours after the attack, Daniel learning his cousin Ellie Garcia was among the dead. Tonight, he carries the weight of grief.
The same child that I dropped off that morning, I feel like a piece of him stayed there. Because when I did get him back, he wasn't the same anymore. And I know it's going to take time and it's going to be a long road of recovery, especially for him, because when he was climbing out of the window, he saw that only 4 students came out of his cousin's class.
Frances Estrada and her 7-year-old granddaughter, Violet, mourning the loss of their family member, Xavier Lopez.
The whole community is so sad, and we can't even sleep.
Violet's brother managed to escape through a window, his classroom just across the hall from the fatal shooting.
I was so scared that if my brother got shot, I was going to be so worried about him, but he didn't.
Just so difficult still to comprehend. Marcus Moore joins us now from the scene in Uvalde. And Marcus, I want to go back to that powerful moment today, the president confronted by that emotional crowd. What's the feeling on the ground tonight?
Lindsay, people here in this small town, they are still hurting. And we have watched, even right now, just behind me, a constant stream of families coming here to Robb Elementary to leave flowers, to pay their respects. And what they really want are solutions, whether that is gun control or more security at the schools, whatever it takes to keep this from happening again. And Lindsay, the first funerals for the little kids who lost their lives here are planned for tomorrow.
Marcus, thank you. The investigation into this massacre and the law enforcement response is certainly picking up steam tonight. Let's bring in ABC senior investigative reporter Aaron Katursky. Aaron, what more are you learning about the federal tactical team that defied the commander's order and went in to confront the gunman?
Some of these federal agents brought heavy equipment. Others, Lindsay, said they just brought whatever they could carry as they raced to the school on foot. And when they got there, they encountered a scene that multiple law enforcement officials described to ABC News as confusing and chaotic. Where was the gunman? Was he being engaged? How were the children being evacuated? Once this federal tactical team assembled, they heard repeated orders, the sources said, not to go into the classroom. But eventually, they convinced their own superiors to let them do whatever they could do to rescue children. That's when they went in and killed the suspect.
And fortunately, they did, at least at that point. Aaron, as they investigate the police response, what specifically will the Justice Department be focusing on?
The Justice Department is going to look at the actions of every law enforcement officer at the school on Tuesday. The goal is to understand what decisions were made and why, and whether any lives could have been saved. Lindsay?
Lots of scrutiny for good reason. Aaron, thank you. And tonight, the push for gun control legislation appears to be picking up bipartisan support in the midst of more violence this weekend. Police in Chattanooga say six people were shot overnight downtown. One person of interest was detained. And in Tulsa, one person there was killed and seven others injured in a shooting at a community event overnight. These latest incidents come as a small group of lawmakers try to push gun reform forward in what's being called serious negotiations. Here's ABC's White House correspondent Mary Alice Parks.
In the wake of the elementary school massacre in Uvalde, Texas, tonight anger boiling over for Congress to enact meaningful gun reform. Texas Senator Ted Cruz confronted at a restaurant after speaking at the NRA convention in Houston just days after the shooting.
Why does this keep happening?
As protests around the country calling for change. Tonight, Democratic leaders optimistic that a bipartisan group of senators are taking part in serious negotiations over this holiday weekend on possible gun safety legislation.
There are more Republicans interested in talking about finding a path forward this time than I have ever seen since Sandy Hook.
On the table, proposals widely popular among Americans, including red flag laws, strengthening background checks, safe gun storage, and mental health resources. Another idea, raising the legal age to buy any gun to 21, something that then-Governor Rick Scott, a Republican, signed into law after the school shooting in Parkland, Florida.
I think that raising the age of gun purchase to 21 is a no-brainer.
Illinois Representative Adam Kinzinger, a Republican who owns an AR-15, says it's time for reforms.
I'm a strong defender of the Second Amendment. We have to be the ones putting forward reasonable solutions to gun violence.
He added he was open to special licensing for owning assault weapons. Republican Chris Jacobs, whose very conservative district borders Buffalo, New York, the site of another mass shooting just 2 weeks ago, went a step further, saying he would vote for an assault weapons ban.
No constitutional right is unlimited. There is, you know, there has to be guardrails.
Some attendees at that NRA convention expressing a willingness to compromise.
Both sides, we want the same result. We don't want that to happen again. I think it's just, it's different. We have different ideas about how to get to that point, and that's really where we need to find some common ground.
Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer gave that bipartisan working group 10 days to report back. And as for that question about age limits, just 2 years ago, Congress voted to change the law to raise the limit for buying tobacco from 18 to 21. They got that done. So these lawmakers are going to continue to face questions about the age limit for purchasing firearms as well. Lindsay?
Raising the age certainly keeps coming up here. Mary Alice, thank you. We turn now to the war in Ukraine. Tonight, Russian forces are pounding Ukrainian troops in the east and making some gains. These images show a missile strike on a plant. The manager says there were no military targets nearby. And this weekend, President Zelensky making a rare appearance outside the capital, inspecting the destruction in Kharkiv. ABC's Tom Sufi Burridge is in Odessa for us tonight.
Tonight, the moment of impact, a missile striking a solar power plant in the region of Kharkiv. The plant's manager saying the missile flew in over the Russian border. Russia's ruthless destruction of vital infrastructure in Ukraine, endless. Putin's offensive in the eastern Donbass doubling down here. Severodonetsk crumbling in this recent video posted online. Russian forces threatening to encircle the city. Tonight, President Zelensky saying 90% of its houses are damaged and basic services cut off. Zelensky this weekend inspecting the destruction in the city of Kharkiv. The president's team releasing this video as he rallies troops, medals for men and women fighting on the front line. Russia also battering cities like Mykolaiv in the south of Ukraine. And along the coast in Odessa, we met Ukrainian troops, constantly on high alert.
We can't show you too much of the Ukrainian positions here because of the threat from the Russian Navy out there. Putin and his generals have never hidden the fact that they want to take this valuable port. Odessa is a city on edge.
Russia still blockading the Black Sea, so Ukraine's vital food exports going nowhere.
Ukraine says it's launched a counter-offensive just along the coast from here, around the region of Kherson, which is occupied by Russia. But in cities like Odessa, this is the new reality. Martial law, a nighttime curfew, and military checkpoints all around here. The war here dragging on. Lindsay?
Just a grueling battle. Tom, thank you. Tonight, millions of Americans are on the move this holiday weekend, on the roads and in the air, and it hasn't all been smooth sailing. Hundreds of flights have been canceled since Friday, many due to bad weather. ABC's Phil Lipoff is at JFK Airport with what you need to know about the big travel day ahead.
Tonight, with record-high gas prices, soaring airfares, and hundreds of flight cancellations from coast to coast, travel is tricky this Memorial Day weekend.
Over the past weeks, I've been putting aside more money, and I've been looking online every day. Hopefully, you catch the best flight.
Across the country, roughly 2,000 flights canceled since Friday, more than 400 today alone. Delays forcing passengers to rebook. And airfares are up, too, 33% in April from a year ago. TSA beefing up its workforce to keep pace, screening about 2 million passengers a day, pre-pandemic numbers.
We've increased the use of overtime. We're also allowing officers that are in a part-time status to convert to full-time.
The road's expensive, too. Tonight, the national average for a gallon of regular is at $4.60. And experts say prices could go even higher through the summer.
It upsets me, as it does a lot of people, but I think people, you know, after COVID and not being able to get out, I think we're willing to deal with it.
AAA expects 35 million Americans to get behind the wheel this weekend. If you're going to be one of them tomorrow, they say best time is before 11 a.m., worst time between 1 and 4 p.m. Lindsay.
Small little window there, Phil. Thank you. Millions of Americans this holiday weekend are closely watching the weather. Tonight, severe thunderstorms are targeting Nebraska to Minnesota. Damaging winds, large hail, and tornadoes are all possible. Let's go straight to ABC's senior meteorologist, Rob Marciano. Hey, Rob.
Hi, Lindsay. While the Northeast is finally cleared out, the Midwest will be under the gun really for the next 3 days with severe weather. Here's the threat zone tonight. It's from Nebraska all the way through Minneapolis. And you see that cluster coming out of Colorado. That's going to be a problem. And a very slow moving system. So not just tonight, but the same spots tomorrow will likely get hit. And a good chance of seeing the bullseye between Sioux Falls and Fargo. Tornadoes possible there. It's bumping into the big time heat that's building near 90 in Chicago, Cincinnati, Pittsburgh, and New York City. Even warmer on Tuesday. Lindsay.
Rob, thank you. An update now on the story that was breaking just as we came on the air last night. Searchers have now recovered the bodies of three missing boaters in Georgia this morning. A total of five people were killed when two boats collided yesterday. Four of them members of the same family. Four others managed to survive. Coast Guard video shows the rescue effort along the Wilmington River near Savannah. One of the survivors, Mark Stiegel, was arrested today and charged with boating under the influence. Tonight, a dramatic pool rescue caught on camera. The family of a four-year-old is thankful for their alert neighbors and their quick thinking. Here's ABC's Zareen Shaw.
Tonight, a family grateful after a heart-stopping near drowning in this Kansas pool was averted.
My friends were yelling at me to go get help, and I just went like, oh no, and ran.
Recent surveillance video showing four-year-old Xavier Rigney, who has autism and is also nonverbal, jumping into a pool in an apartment complex. 12-year-old Maddox Westerhouse saw Xavier drowning.
Xavier was under the water for 3 minutes and 22 seconds.
Maddox called his dad, Tom, who jumped a fence, pulling Xavier out of the pool and conducting CPR for nearly 3 minutes until Xavier started breathing again.
Definitely when he started to cough up water and everything, I knew that was a good sign.
First responders said without Tom, it might have been too late. The risk of children with autism drowning is up to 10 times greater than other children. And drowning is the single leading cause of death for all children between 1 and 4.
This is Xavier, his mother, Alexis.
Xavier's mom meeting his rescuers for the first time. She says she was focused on her 4-month-old when she saw Xavier was missing.
He's my best friend, so I don't know what I would do without him. Sorry.
Officials say more than half of kids drowned within 25 yards of a parent. There are a lot of things that parents can do to keep kids safe. No CPR, have fences around pools, and make sure kids learn how to swim. Lindsay.
Some potentially life-saving tips there, Zareen. Thank you. And there's still much more ahead on World News Tonight this Sunday. A 10-year-old is arrested in Florida, accused of threatening a mass shooting. And panic inside an arena, the race to safety, as word of a possible active shooter spread throughout the crowd. Tonight, a 10-year-old Florida boy is charged and accused of threatening a mass shooting. You heard that right, just 10 years old. The suspect in handcuffs is about the same age as the young victims in Texas. Sheriff's deputies in Lee County arrested the fifth grader yesterday. They say they linked him to a threatening text message and are not taking any chances. And with America on edge following the recent mass shootings, a sign of just how quickly fear can turn to panic. This was the scene at the Barclays Center in Brooklyn early this morning. Boxing fans scrambling for the exits when the crowd mistook a loud noise for gunfire. It may have been someone actually kicking over a garbage can. Police say 10 people suffered minor injuries and were taken to hospitals. And when we come back, why police arrested the husband of House Speaker Nancy Pelosi.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify POS has everything you need to sell in person. Go to shopify.com/system, all lowercase, to take your retail business to the next level today. That's shopify.com/system.
We've got the exclusive view behind the table. Every day, right after the show, while the topics are still hot, the ladies go deeper into the moments that make the view, the view. The Views Behind the Table podcast. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Andy Mitchell, a New York Times bestselling author.
And I'm Sabrina Kohlberg, a morning television producer. We're moms of toddlers and best friends of 20 years.
And we both love to talk about being parents, yes, but also pop culture.
So we're combining our two interests by talking to celebrities, writers, and fellow scholars of TV and movies.
Cinema, really.
About what we all can learn from the fictional moms we love to watch.
From ABC Audio and Good Morning America, Pop Culture Moms is out now wherever you listen to podcasts.
Tonight, Nancy Pelosi's husband is facing two misdemeanor counts of driving under the influence. Paul Pelosi, the husband of the House Speaker, was arrested late last night in Napa Valley, California, accused of driving with a blood alcohol content above 0.08. Paul Pelosi, who is 82 years old, was released on $5,000 bail. Speaker Pelosi has not commented on the arrest. When we come back, united in prayer, how faith is lifting a wounded community. We end tonight once again in Uvalde, Texas, a town shaken by violence, now lifted by faith. In Uvalde, Texas this Sunday, comfort comes in all forms. In song, in solemn stares and silent prayers, bowed heads, warm embraces, and outstretched arms. Crosses and candles have become commonplace in the wake of this country's snowballing violence. But here in Uvalde, this memorial of empty school chairs is unique to their painful loss. At another memorial down the street, a single rose for each of the 21 victims. This community is seeking strength and solace anywhere and any way they can find it. Power of prayer is everywhere. From the parishioners at Sacred Heart Catholic Church.
We are neighbors. We are brothers and sisters in Christ. And we touch each other's shoulders right now. This is our community. You are not alone.
We know, Lord, that you can...
To these mourners who formed a prayer circle with clasped hands and heavy hearts.
The Bible says that faith, love, and hope are the three greatest weapons that we have right now. We win the victory one day at a time. And so it's going to be an everyday thing of bringing love, hope, support to one another.
Many in this heartbroken community are now trying to cling to such words of strength and resolve.
And just know that everybody is with you.
Thanks so much for watching. I'm Lindsay Davis. Good night.
The first ever criminal trial of a former president is underway in Manhattan. It's one of potentially four trials facing former President Trump as he makes his third bid for the White House. What do voters think about his culpability, and would a guilty verdict make a difference in the election? I'm Galen Druk, and every Monday and Thursday on the 538 Politics podcast, we break down the latest news from the campaign trail. We sort through the noise and zoom in on what really matters, using data and research as we go. That's 538 Politics every Monday and Thursday, wherever you get your podcasts.